Welcome to Cats and Rats Podcast, covering your Florida Panthers.
Welcome, everyone, to the new Cats and Rats Podcast, Episode 4. It's been crazy times in Pantherland with the Panthers here, leading not only the Atlantic Division, but the NHL, currently on a six-game winning streak right now, heading into the game against Philadelphia and Calgary as they're heading back home here. And we'll see how they do on this homestand as the Panthers have been road warriors all season long here. But this episode, we've got a special guest. I'm going to introduce him here in a second. Lots of things going on as of this recording, as a trade deadline. Things might be going on as we're recording here. So we might be breaking news to you as we're live here recording this podcast episode. But first off, I'm going to go to one of my co-hosts here, Cody. How's it going, Cody?
It's going good, Kirby. How have you been?
Not bad, not bad. What's your feelings here as we head towards the trade deadline?
I mean, feeling pretty good. I mean, Panthers on a six-game winning streak, playing some of the best hockey I've ever seen the sea play in their franchise's history. And made a move today, getting Vladimir Tarasenko, a guy that I wanted, for relatively minor sum. So I'm feeling pretty good right now about our chances.
And how's everything going with you there, Nick, as we've been quite busy here every day this week ahead with our spaces, obviously our podcast here, and then we're going to actually have a trade deadline coverage as well on Friday, if anything happens that day.
I've been doing really good. Obviously really excited about this team. Like Cody said, six-game winning streak, different depth scoring finally coming up at quite an interesting time for a lot of guys. But it's been really fun to watch. It's been really it's just an exciting time, especially with the trade deadline coming around. Obviously the addition of Tarasenko, we'll dive more into that later, but it's an exciting time to be a Panther fan for sure.
Yeah, no doubt, Nick. And as I introduce our guest here on this podcast episode 4, you know, I kind of came in, you know, thinking, okay, we're going to talk about the Panthers and kind of their season in review and kind of what's going to happen leading up to this Friday deadline. But with the big news of Vladimir Tarasenko dropping today here on March 6th, this is going to be our main emphasis and our main focus on this episode. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our partner at the Five Reasons Sports Network, Florida Panthers beat writer himself, Alex Baumgartner. How's it going, Alex?
Going good, guys. How you doing?
Not bad.
Going good. Ready to hear from the best beat writer in the game. Yes, sir.
So are we ready to jump into the Tarasenko stuff? And I'll start with you, Alex, but I want to just do a roundtable discussion as we go around here, and then I'll jump in with other points and counterpoints and what have you. So a lot to take in today here on the Vladimir Tarasenko front. He was traded from the Ottawa Senators today, and the Panthers, you know, the price tag, we talked about what the price tag is going to cost for, you know, additions to this lineup. People are worried about, you know, wrecking the chemistry, the synergy of the team, not giving up those first round picks, that people are kind of have that PTSD when it goes back to, you know, the Giroux and Sherratt deals where, you know, the furthest it got us was a second round early exit against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So the deal again breaks down as is. Florida receives Vladimir Tarasenko. 50% of that contract will be retained. In return, Ottawa gets a 2024 fourth round conditional pick and a 2025 third round pick. Alex, just your initial thoughts on this deal, and then we can go around to Cody and Nick here as well.
Yeah, well, first of all, Zito got one of the bigger fish that's available at the trade deadline without giving up a lot of assets. You get the retained salary, meaning you still have $3.1 million in deadline space, which you can go for one or two players, depending on how they see fit before Friday. But I love the Tarasenko move. Here's the thing. The chemistry thing that a lot of people are freaking out about, I slightly mentioned this, and it was more of getting rid of Lundell and then trying to replace Lundell, not necessarily adding someone like Tarasenko, and then you might drop a fourth liner like Will Lockwood, who is going through waivers. So I don't think that's a big chemistry morale decrease if Will Lockwood does get claimed. I mean, the guys like him, but at the end of the day, that's the guy that it was a bubble player. Now, if they traded, say, Montour / Forsling and a Lundell, like just hypotheticals, that could mess up a locker room. And that's not what happened here. Tarasenko comes in. He had to waive his full no movement clause. He only wanted Florida. That's what happened. So Zito gets to throw two mid-round picks, which is just great on his part. Like you said, they didn't have to give up a first-round pick, which is 2026 is the next one they have. They have more flexibility. And, I mean, Tarasenko is a good fit. If it works out, you got a guy who's a known playoff performer, 64 points, including 44 goals in 97 playoff games. You can slot him pretty much anywhere on the top nine. And I think they're going to use the next couple of games just to test him out on different line combinations, seeing if he's going to click with Barkov, if he can click with Tkachuk, maybe throw him the third line with Lundell. So honestly, I like the move from Florida. Not only do you get Tarasenko, you also prevent him from going to another team that you might meet in the first round. I mean, he's a great playoff performer, Stanley Cup champion, and you know he still has that scoring touch. So I like the move for Zito and the Panthers.
Cody and Nick, just your initial thoughts, and then we're going to dig really deep into the roster and what our feelings are there.
Yeah, I mean, the pretty piggyback of Alex, when he's talking about the chemistry, was that year we got Claude with Ben Chiarot. Like, I don't think adding those guys were the chemistry, but I think them trading away Frank Vatrano really kind of messed up that chemistry, because Vatrano was a very key part of that locker room back then. I believe he was the team DJ, if I was not mistaken, at the time.
Yeah, he was. Trocheck and Goodbranson, I think, were prior.
Yeah, but like I said, but Tarasenko is a guy who, once again, like, knows how to win. Winning DNA, Kirby says it all the time. And you can't get much better than Tarasenko. I mean, guy's won a cup. He's, once again, like Alex said, no playoff performer. He could contend. And why I wanted him was I feel like he could play anywhere. Where Barkov could bet a Tkachuk or put him with Lundell, I feel like anywhere you put him is going to be a good fit. Just because, like I said, I think a lot of people were worried about his defense prior to this. Like, if you
that's something I'm worried about with Ottawa. You know, just how I said, if things were going to go bad in South for Ottawa, I know the Shane Pinto situation. I know they haven't got the goaltending. They had the coach change. But I think one of the biggest elements of why Ottawa hasn't gone well this year, and I'm, you know, I live up here north of the border. Alex knows this, going to school up here. You get a lot of coverage of all Canadian teams. And I've listened to a lot of the Ottawa analysis this season. And a lot of their forwards just aren't willing to commit to that two-way game, that 200-foot game. And Tarasenko is in that mix of those guys. Now, do you need all your players to play 200-foot games? No. Do the Panthers do it in that elite level? Yes. But that is one of the things that I'm worried about with him coming in. Not necessarily fit online, but how he's going to play defensively and buy into that Maurice and Zito system.
But I think he's going to buy in because we have such a better culture here. Where Ottawa, I feel like they really didn't know what the hell they wanted to do. Where here, it's known from the minute you walk in, hey, we expect you to backcheck, play defense, play physical. This is what we are. This is our identity. Like, Florida has that. Ottawa necessarily, I don't think, has that. So, it's just, and that's why, like, I believe that he'll be good, because he's won a cup before. So he has bought in and played this kind of game before. This isn't new to him. So, like I said, I just think buying in, I just think that's a culture thing. But when you have, because let's be honest, because in Ottawa, I think your star players aren't buying in, but here Barkov, Tkachuk are buying in. So if they bought in, no one else on the team has no reason to buy in with them.
Yeah. And I want Nick, kind of just initial thoughts there, and then I do want to get into where you guys kind of project him lineup wise. We'll get really deep into that.
So I really agree with both what Alex and Cody said here. It gives us a lot of flexibility in the top nine. And to touch on what Cody said, for the people worried about, you know, the playoff style, Maurice's demanding style, I think you could, first of all, there has to be buy-in with any player that comes in. It's not, oh, this player doesn't have, every player has to buy in. So that's something required of every player who comes into the lineup, regardless, right? So, and I foresee Vladimir Tarasenko buying in. He wanted to come here. This is a guy Zito was interested in the offseason before he eventually signed in Ottawa. And just looking at Vladimir Tarasenko, particularly his playoff resume, this guy is fifth in the NHL in playoff goals since 2012-2013, which is the year he came into the league. Obviously, the Stanley Cup championship with the St. Louis Blues, where he played a big part, not only in that playoff run, and turning their season around when Jordan Binnington came in. But Tarasenko is a guy that, you know, for example, like if the power play, well, I know we'll get into this a little bit deeper later, but if the power play is not clicking, this is a guy you could put on the perimeter. Kirby, we've talked about it on Spaces. Where is the perimeter threat? We kind of found that a little bit more with Verhaeghe, but if we ever have trouble with it, this is a perfect guy we could use as that one-time option that, you know, we've kind of been looking for ever since we lost Mike Hoffman. So I think it's a really smart pickup because you don't mortgage the future on anything. More than likely, Vladimir Tarasenko, what he's going to do this year for the Panthers is going to surpass anything that those, hopefully those two third round picks will ever become. So I think that Zito made a calculated risk, but I also caution people to think like, just because there was some people might call a mistake with like Claude Giroux and Ben Chiarot, I understand there is reservation about that. And the fact that there were no moves last year at the deadline and then we went on the run, I get it. But other teams are making moves. You can't be afraid to make moves because, oh, it didn't work out a couple years ago, right? This is a different team, a different coach, and this is a different situation. And you're not mortgaging the future. You're getting a need where I felt Giroux was kind of more of a luxury at the time.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And I think it's a really smart, calculated risk by Bill Zito, and we'll see what else he does.
Yeah, so thank you guys for that kind of initial analysis. And I'm just pulling up the lineup here, Cody, for Ottawa the other night. So, again, let's kind of get into this now. You know, Tarasenko, people have asked me, Kirby, where is he slotting? You know, top line, you know, middle six. You know, is he just going to be a top nine guy? I'm going to see how that kind of plays out. The other night with Ottawa, he was with Pinto and Joseph, I believe, on their second line. So, again, I just want to kind of lay it all out here, Alex. We'll go to Alex first, then Cody, then back to Nick. Just kind of give me kind of your brief synopsis, prediction of where you think he's going to fit in this lineup. You might not know until you see him out there on the ice. But, again, we've got the option of playing with Barkov, Tarasenko, kind of that Russian connection, you know, Barkov's half Russian, you know, that little connection could really work, I think, well, but then you would have to bump Reinhardt down to the third line. If you put Tarasenko on the second line, which a lot of fans might lean to, that means Cousins slides down to that third or fourth line. Again, I would like to see him on the fourth line because I don't think he was adding a lot of things to that third line where he does have that chemistry with Bennett and Tkachuk on the second line, but he's not really a second line player. And then what do you do with Erod? Right now he's playing well with Lundell and Luostarinen. And then if you slide Cousins down, he kind of adds that new kind of, you kind of become maybe a four line team with Stenlin, Lomberg and Cousins, and they're going to cause a lot of problems out there on the ice, which kind of our second line is doing that right now. But how much can that be sustainable? And then probably the odd man out, like Alex mentioned, Lockwood on waivers is probably Gadjevich. And what I say is you don't really need to fight every night in a playoff series type of atmosphere or have to put that type of guy into the lineup, even though he's played good. So again, where do you guys see with me saying all of that? Where does Tarasenko fit in your eyes, Alex?
Yeah, so the first thing, as I mentioned earlier, I think they're going to try him in different spots in the top nine. I highly doubt the way Barkov and Reinhardt have been going, they're going to break that chemistry up. If anything, they'll play Tarasenko on the left side, and then you can, I mean, Verhaeghe has more experience playing with Tkachuk and Bennett, even strength, mm-hmm. than Reinhardt barely ever plays with Tkachuk and Bennett. That's just how it is. Yep. Nick Cousins, you're going to have to bump him down to the fourth line, at least at the start. I know they like Cousins in the playoffs in the second line, and, you know, he can get going at times, but you brought in Tarasenko to be a top nine, really a top six, that third line is more of a top six and a top nine, if you know what I'm saying. So I'm going to think they try either Tarasenko immediately on that Tkachuk Bennett line, see if he can just spark it, and then you drop Cousins down, or you move Verhaeghe down with the Tkachuk and Bennett, and then you put Tarasenko line one. And if those don't work, you bump Rodriguez back up to line one, which has worked multiple times this season, and you give Lundell, Luostarinen, and Tarasenko a goal, because as we've seen recently, you put a skilled winger on Lundell's line and he turned into a different player. So we'll see in morning skate tomorrow. I will be there. I guess this is dropping today. So I'll tweet out the line, see how they're trying Tarasenko out. I'm not sure if he'll play Thursday, but if he's taking line rushes, I'd assume he would. But that's pretty much how I see it. Try a couple different options, but I want to see him on that first line to start.
Yeah.
First line to start, Alex?
Yeah, I think so. Because at the worst, you know that Verhaeghe, Bennett, and Tkachuk can get going at any time. Like, that line can drive.
Uh-huh. So you want to play Vlad on the left side then?
You're not moving the second best goal scorer in the NHL off the line that's been working so well.
But you're not with Reinhardt and Lundell and Lusto building that up in a playoff round where you got three lines really deep.
We've seen it's worked in the past, but if I'm being honest, that's a juggernaut of a first line with Reinhardt and Barkov. Reinhardt's getting Barkov going, which is Maurice said 2 games ago. Like, I don't want to break that up right now. I want to see how Tarasenko works on both lines. Like, if he sparks right away on that first line, there's 20 games left. I still want to see how he works with some of the other guys. And I think in the position the Panthers are in right now, they have the luxury of maybe trying that out for a few games.
I think one of my co-hosts might be with you there, bumping, you're saying, Verhaeghe down to that Bennett and Tkachuk line, right? So that's interesting, because you keep Reinhardt on the right side and then you put Tarasenko over there on the left. I know a weakness that I felt all season for us has kind of been that right wing side. That's where, you know, Mackey's come into the equation and people said, how big of an impact is he going to be? Well, you see a guy in Dallas like Logan Stankhoven, he's doing everything for that team as a smaller forward guy, back checking, stick lifting guys. And those were things that Samoskevich needed to go back down to Charlotte and kind of marinate a little bit more and learn that game down there. So we hope that he can come up and do those things that Stankoven's doing in Dallas. But Cody,
if I can jump in on that quickly, Kirby, the way this team is built right now, unless there's a couple injuries, I really don't see a sorter for Samoskevich coming into the lineup in the playoffs unless they really have to. That's why they're making all these moves, and that's why I think they'll still make another move with that cap space. But just something in my opinion, I know I've talked to a couple people about this. I don't really want to trust my 21 year old prospect the way this team plays in such an important role in the playoffs. And I think that's why they made these moves for Tarasenko.
Yeah, and it makes us a lot deeper. And like you said, injuries happen. You're not going to panic. That's something we've talked about on Spaces every night, Cody and Nick. If an injury happens, then we're kind of hooped, right? Then you got to put sort of it. Yep, yeah. Now you've got those more options there. So anyone that wants to jump in there, Cody or Nick, your lineup?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, what I'm thinking is just, like, I think Tarasenko needs a little bit of time to get used to the system, probably because we play such an aggressive system. And I think watching Ottawa this year, I think our systems are the complete opposite. So I think, like, because I think Ottawa is more of like an in-space, kind of like free-flowing offensive system where we're more like dump and chase, in your face, forecheck the hell out of you, and just try and get the puck back anyway. I think it's going to take about two, three games to probably get into it. But, like, with that being said, I think I would start him with Lundell and Luostarinen to start, and I would bump Rodriguez back up the first line and put Verhaeghe to the second line, and then put Cousins to fourth line. Just so, like, because, like, and I would put Tarasenko on power play too, by the way, too. Let me just add that caveat.
Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious on that part.
Yeah.
So you got Tarasenko on the right side,
yeah,
with Luostarinen and Lundell centering them.
Just because I think those two are very defensively sound and they already do a lot of the dirty work.
Mm-hmm.
So Tarasenko probably doesn't have to, like, I don't want
to
say do
it. Now my point to you, Cody, is Tarasenko is going to have to net drive. Lundell wants to find him ahead of the play, and Lundell would want to find him as the trailer as well. So that line's got to score a little bit in transition.
Yeah.
I think those two, sometimes Lundell and Luostarinen can get lost with, okay, who's leading us here? And like something that Alex alluded to, and I have too, you put Lundell with skilled players and he looks a lot better. But Tarasenko is going to have to take kind of that leadership role and certain momentum points in games where, you know, we need that depth scoring. Like we saw with in the New Jersey game, we're going to need someone to step up. So that's going to have to be Tarasenko, because that third line has seen a lot of different pieces and it's had mixed results this year. So I'm curious to how that looks. I think in transition, they're going to have to kind of pop, not just have puck possession, not just kill the clock. They're going to have to get some stuff off of transition and finish plays.
But that's why they acquired Tarasenko. He made his name was made in transition.
But we're not talking St. Louis Tarasenko.
I know,
we're talking
even
currently.
In Ottawa. Even in Ottawa.
Look, Cody made a good point about learning the system. And the reason why I think, even though I think the Lundell, Tarasenko, Lucarainen thing can work, the reason why I would put him at the start with one of those top two lines is confidence is key. You come to a new team and you start scoring right away, then 15 games on the road, you're not thinking, oh, maybe I can't compete with this team. I can't score with this team. You put them with Barkov and Reinhardt. I mean, these guys are putting up 3 points every game some nights. Matthew Tkachuk the same way. I do like what Cody said. Lundell, Lusterainen, two defensive-minded players. You throw Tarasenko on there where his one role is to score. But I want to get him going right away.
But then again, if you put him on the top line, he's got two Selke candidates right there. So it ain't really that much of a difference.
Exactly. But you have two Selke candidates who are over a point per game. And I mean, Reinhardt's going to hit over 50 goals. Like, he's going to score on that line.
Yeah. And just...
Nick, do you have something to jump in there where you kind of in between Alex and Cody?
I can see the argument for both sides. And I'm actually personally kind of torn between all three lines. I think there's a good argument, like Cody said, for the third line, helping learn the system. Just having the idea of Tarasenko playing with Barkov is such an unbelievable idea. And I'm a fan of Verhaeghe with Benedict Tkachuk instead of Verhaeghe with Barkov. I think they were excellent last year, and they've been excellent this year when they were together. I do slightly lean towards Tarasenko on that top line because I like the Verhaeghe Benedict Tkachuk line so much. Now, I'm kind of in between Tarasenko on line one and two, because I think Tarasenko on that second line, I think him being with Benedict Tkachuk, two very effective forecheckers, would honestly help him a little bit more, because while he's getting acclimated to the system, and they could kind of feed off of Tkachuk and Bennett doing the dirty work. But I also think that the chemistry that Verhaeghe, Bennett, and Tkachuk have built is just too good to pass up. And you know, Barkov feeding Reinhardt and Tarasenko, I think Reinhardt and Barkov are also effective forecheckers in their own right. So for me, I think I have to go Tarasenko on that top line with Barkov and Reinhardt, and then have the third line currently the same, and then reunite Verhaeghe with Bennett and Tkachuk, and then have that fourth line, which would be Stenlin, Lomberg, and Cousins. And I think that's going to be an important part. Like when we played Vegas last year, that fourth line killed us, and our fourth line was Stahl, White, and Doughty. They played 5 minutes a night, and having that as our Stenlin, Cousins, Lomberg as our fourth line that can play 8-9 minutes a night, that's gonna add up, and that's really gonna help us not only down the stretch, but especially into the playoffs.
And then also you have Lorenz and Gadjevich behind,
and there's depth too.
And those two aren't slouches either.
No, they're not, and both of those guys, our healthy scratches, would have been on that fourth line in last season. Probably over Doughty and maybe Colin White.
I mean, Tarasenko played a game in the Cup final.
Exactly.
I cannot believe that was even a fever.
And this will go into, you know, when we're going to talk about other potential moves that we could make. But
we won't get to that yet.
But I think that the Tarasenko ad being so important for depth, I think that Rodriguez has finally gotten that Lundell Lostarinen line going. Verhaeghe, you Kirby, you know I love him with Benedict Tkachuk. But I do agree with what you said, Kirby. I think that if we do go on a deep run, I think it could be that Reinhardt, that Reinhardt Lundell,
and then I would have I would have Verhaeghe, Barkov, and Erod up top, you've got.
I think that would be a.
Verhaeghe, Barkov, Tarasenko, and then you can move around. Erod.
You could figure out other things, but I think that it's also matchups too. Like you're able to match up your third line against any line.
Yeah, that third line with Reinhardt would just crush
it. Your top three lines can match up against anybody, and you know that's an advantage we're gonna have here because you know we had Paul Maurice had to be very diligent in the lines he put out last year in the playoffs. This year, I kind of feel like he feels comfortable throwing out any line in the on the ice against any of the other opposing teams' line. I think it was the fourth line that played against Trocheck's line in the Ranger game. So I think that's a testament to
Maurice loves the fourth line, and they made an emphasis going into training camp on getting bigger and more physical because they got bullied by Vegas. They got bullied by Vegas.
1,000% by that Carrier, Waugh, and
Carrier, Kolesar.
Not only does Maurice have confidence in that fourth line, no matter who's there, I mean, it's not just the Trocheck. When they played the Capitals multiple times, they were throwing them out against Ovechkin. They had like 3 minutes left. Your fourth line's playing in a one-goal game. I mean, they have a lot of confidence there. And we've seen Paul and what he's done. Like, he'll throw the lines in a blender in the second period if they're trailing by one. Like, he's a very smart hockey mind. And, like, some of the stuff that he pulls, I mean, Nick Cousins on that second line, last year in the playoffs, I'm in Toronto when that happened, and I'm like, what's going on here? And, well, Nick Cousins wins the series. So
first shift of that series. I say, Alex, that was one of the biggest moments of our playoff run that doesn't get talked about.
Yeah,
like, they established, like, who was going to be boss.
And that's a point I talked about a lot, especially over the summer and on Spaces, Kirby, was not only defensively but forwards, the minute allocation, the importance of having a fourth line that not only – can be serviceable, but that you can kind of rely on.
And we didn't have Lombard.
Kevin Stenlin's their top penalty killer. Like,
yeah, so
Alex, we didn't have Lombard in that Toronto suit.
And Alex, I will say this. A lot of people say we got burnt out. If you don't think that the fourth line, and all due respect to all those guys on the fourth line, they did a fine job, but them playing 5 minutes didn't have an impact on the top guys who had to play, pick up some of those minutes. That took its toll over time.
It's just like when you get tired in those series like that, you start taking dumb penalties, which is like in my opinion, that was like the biggest thing with Vegas the first two games was they got on power plays and they scored each time. It was Marchessault that killed us.
Look, Tampa killed teams on their runs because of their bottom six. It's just how it works. You win cups when you can roll all your lines. And the Panthers made the emphasis. We need to get deep. We need to have insurance. I mean, look at some of these guys they picked up compared to last year. Like, once again, respect to all these guys, but Jovani Smith was playing playoff games last year.
It's Boston.
And that's not a diss on Jovani Smith.
No.
But when you have, I mean, Steven Lorenz is like the 14th forward some nights, especially now with Tarasenko coming in, and he would 100% have started some of those games over Smith.
Yeah.
They like Dalpy. Maybe him and Dalpy are kind of on the same wavelength, but like it's a lot deeper of a team forward wise and defense wise.
Yep. And I have the bottom six pulled up from game five last year, the cup final. Our third line was Eric Staal, Ryan Lomberg, and Nick Cousins. And our fourth line was Zach Dalpy, Grigori Denisenko, and Colin White.
Yeah. I mean, Colin White was going for like 5 or 10 games at the beginning of the season, and then like
never
it just
went
didn't
again.
Work out. But you had no choice to play him because you didn't have any prospects you wanted to bring up in the AHL, besides Denisenko, and you had no cap space. You had Keith Yandel's $5.3 million dead cap hit. They had no wiggle room, and that's why Zito came into this deadline with wiggle room, and that's why I think he's not done.
Oh
yep.
Yeah.
And Alex, that's going to segue us in here to what does Zito have ahead. But before we get to that, I just want to give a shout out to our sponsor here, Caneswear. Panthers fever is here. Are you geared up? Caneswear in Davie is the place for all your Florida Panther needs. They have the latest gear for your favorite NHL team. Jerseys, polos, t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Caneswear has you covered. Stop by their store in Davie or PanthersWear.com. Again, that's PanthersWear, WEAR.com for all your Panthers gear. So we kind of broke down everything about Vladimir Tarasenko. We're going to transition away from that and see what Bill Zito has in store and what our guest here today, Alex, has to say on that. But I'm just going to read some fan feedback comments here. This is on our Instagram page. So again, if you're not following us, Cats and Rats Podcast. We're almost already up to 100 followers. We just started this a couple weeks ago. So thank you to everyone for following us there. This is from Mike in WPB. He said, where does Tarasenko fit to him? He says second line with Manet, with Bennett and Maddie. And then Canadian Ryan, who is one of our loyal followers and listeners every night on Spaces X post-game show, he says first line with Barkov and Reinhardt. He's a sniper. And I just want to give a special shout out here to everyone that did write-ups for us. I'll continue to throw a couple more out there. I did one last night, actually, that I didn't publish. That was to do with two San Jose Sharks players, Anthony Duclair and Barabanov. So I don't know if that will happen now. Alex is going to give us some insight on that. But just a quick shout-out. Obviously, Nick and Cody, they did their write-ups with Sealer and Jenner. We had Vince, Matthew, Buzz, Jack, Nick Fairbanks, Rosanna, Adam, D'Lo, Michael, Matthew, Scotty, Chris, Jeremy, and I think I got everyone. So I appreciate all those write-ups. If I forgot anyone, I apologize on that behalf. I think that was off of my list there. And then let's get into some kind of questions here. I'm going to pose to Alex first. What does Bill Zito have in store yet to come for the Panthers? Of course, as of this recording, the Panthers have just signed Vladimir Tarasenko. They should have approximately around $3 million to play with. So this was from Don Benya, who's one of our loyal listeners in Finland. He said, which defenseman will Zito still add and why is it Hanifin? Well, it's not going to be Hanifin now because Hanifin has now signed with the Vegas Gold. That one aged. This is a shout out to Matthew H. He wanted to know how do our lines turn out when all things are said and done, and his argument for Vladimir Tarasenko on the first line. I think you're going to hear all that analysis, Matthew, when you listen back here. And then Chris Scott, I will kind of go into this one here. I know you guys are probably getting blown up today, but with the trade today, Panthers are now at a little over 3 million cap space. Do you think they will add another big type deal? Again, he includes the name Hanifin, or probably not. So kind of what do you forecast here ahead, gentlemen? We'll start with Alex here. As I've said, Alex, I think we need to have 2-3 additions coming to this deadline. A lot of people push back on me on that, said don't make any moves, just keep the team how it is. But just talking to you off the air a little bit, Alex, I think there could be some more moves in store.
Yeah, so here's kind of my mindset. You have $3.1 million per cap friendly and deadline space. That's due to salary cap things throughout the entire season. That's why they have that extra chunk of change. An important thing to remember is the trade deadline is on Friday. Also on Friday, the 23-man active roster limit is gone. Why is that important? Well, you don't have to waive guys. So you can carry a certain amount of – you can carry 24 if you're within the salary cap range, which is something that the Panthers are going to think about. Now, with the $3.1 million, obviously, Hanifin is in Vegas now. Shocked a little bit because they kind of came into the mix within an hour or two before that trade happened. And then, boom, he's a Vegas Golden Knight. But when we're looking at the available defensemen now on the market, Sean Walker is out of Philly. We have Hanifin out of Calgary. We got a couple other deals that were thrown around. Yep. So there was a Byram went from Colorado to Buffalo. Yeah, and Buffalo, that's more of like a rebuilding kind of move for Casey Mittelstadt. And I think we'll touch on that briefly later. But here's what I think. So you have $3.1 million in cap. I don't think it's going to hurt for you to pick up a depth defenseman. Now, the problem is who's going to be available at this point. The Panthers always managed to find someone with this regime that maybe not a lot of people were talking about. I mean, Brandon Montour wasn't getting too much, chatter when he was traded for, a third-round pick, and now he's well on his way to getting a $5 to $7 million contract. That's just a ballpark number. What I want to do, Max Pacioretty, $2 million if he's not retained by Washington. Now, here's why I say Pacioretty. Former captain in the NHL, 15 points in 25 games this season with the Capitals. He has 49 playoff points and 74 playoff appearances. And once again, he was the captain of the Montreal Canadiens, which is one of the hardest teams to be a captain for.
As an American.
Especially as an American. And here's the thing with Pacioretty, right? Report from LeBron says that one of his preferred he said a preferred desired destination is the Panthers. There's been other reports saying even with Tarasenko, that could possibly still happen. I think Pacioretty is okay with not playing every game, where Tarasenko is going to be playing every game. And with that extra salary, you can still pick up Pacioretty, even if he's not retained, have another $1 million to pick up a depth defenseman, whoever they find fit be. The Panthers do like the eight they have right now. I mean, I think Balinskas is really the seventh defenseman. He's just in Charlotte because he's the only guy that's waiver exempt. I would pick up Pacioretty if I was them. Make a call. He has a full no movement clause. If he really wants Florida, you can probably strike a similar deal where you get him for maybe like a fourth round pick or something. And then you can go and you still have all your prospects. Mm-hmm. You didn't touch them. And I think that's something that I wouldn't be surprised Zito does. And once again, before I switch it off to you guys, the reason why I think Pacioretty will work, I brought up the injury history. I don't think he necessarily wants to have to play all 20 of the regular season games to end off and play in every single playoff game. I think if I was him, I would be okay with going to a team where you're contending for a cup, and then either you play every playoff game or you have closer to like a, I mean, Phil Kessel didn't play a single game in the Stanley Cup final, but he was there as an insurance piece. So I don't know how Pacioretty's mindset is going with a day left in the trade deadline, but if I was him and if I was the Panthers, that's something I want to do.
I know, Nick, I talked to him off air about that. Now, Nick, I don't know if you're telling me on reports or more about kind of what your analysis is.
That was more of my thought. I agree with him 100%. So for a little bit of context, me and Kirby had a conversation earlier today, and I mentioned that point about potentially this particular scenario I am going to talk about is with some retention on Max Pacioretty. But I do want to talk about that for a sec, because there's a couple of things here. One, obviously, more than likely Gajewicz would be the 13th forward, right? As of right now, Gajewicz is that piece that if somebody gets hurt on that fourth line, you're going to just plug him in, and then whoever gets hurt higher up in the lineup, you might raise Cousins or whoever. I think Pacioretty, number one, could be an excellent option, not only for the veteran leadership, but you could have a middle six option instead of relying on maybe a fourth line piece to have to move up into the lineup. And I think that's an important piece here, is because we saw what happened with injuries last year. Lostarinen got hurt, Kirby, before the Stanley Cup final, and we had to have Ryan Lomberg come up, and then obviously Tkachuk got hurt. If we had had a guy like Max Pacioretty, he could have just stepped in for Lostarinen. And I think a guy like that is really important, especially if he is willing to not play every game and he is willing to come to Florida, which all reporting suggests that that's his preference. Now, another guy I wouldn't mind him being packaged with, and obviously this would require some movement in making the cap work, is Joel Edmondson. I think if you're looking for a big physical depth defenseman, again, there is a possibility that that final defensive spot could become like a rotational thing, although maybe not the best idea. You could plug in Joel Edmondson for a particular series. If it's going to be a big physical game or a big physical series, you might want to put Joel Edmondson in that series instead of whoever, right? Right now, that would be Dmitry Kulikov. And it's an important point that Alex brought up this Friday, being the 23-man limit. If we could make the cap work, I think that it would really benefit us if we were able to get Edmondson and Pacioretty, and then maybe have whoever else is like Pacioretty and Gajewicz as the 13th forward, I guess you would call it. And then Edmondson and Kulikov being that six, seven deep. The problem is, I think Joel Edmondson shoots left, and I know we're needing a right shot defenseman. Last year in the playoffs, we saw Maurice likes to play the guys on the strong side. Now,
I just want to jump in, Nick. I've got names there, Cody, and I want you to get in here too. Adam Boqvist, Eric Brandstrom, Kevin Ball, Will Borgen. You said to me, Cody, Matt Roy from LA, that might be a target in the offseason, especially with LA now kind of pushing up the Western Conference standing there. But those are some defense names.
Yeah. So I go ahead, Cody.
No, you go ahead. So
all right. So I think that could be a really nice option. You know, you get the depth with Edmondson and Pacioretty that, you know, it kind of makes, you know, your extra guys have a little bit more versatility in terms of who comes up. Like I Kirby, I know you said
The one that I've heard on too from a source, Andrew Peak, you know, there's connections there with Zito and also with the South Florida area.
Could that be an option? Now that is a multi-year deal, and I think the cap hits a 2.75. So maybe would there have to be some retention there or a third team brokering the deal, whatever. But I think that having some versatility in your extra guys, the guys who aren't going to be playing every night, is going to be key, especially some middle six options. And again, Kirby, here's another example. You said on spaces, we don't know if we have another guy for Mikkola that could step in and play that physical role, who could play that Mikkola type role. I think Edmondson could fill that Mikkola role in a sense. Now, I don't think he'd be in the top four, but if
something... It's fine if it's a depth guy.
Yeah, if something were to happen to, hypothetically, to Nico Mikkola or whoever...
Yeah, I don't want to depend on Kulikov, and even though he's OEL's exactly. Age gives me a little pause on,
you know, exactly. And you here. All and we learned last year that, you know, injuries happen to whoever. Mm-hmm. And having the not only having depth, but having the right guys to plug in for these guys who might get hurt or might need a night off, that's gonna be key down the stretch, in my opinion, especially. You can never be too sorry, especially if it's an attainable commodity. Max Pacioretty is a good middle six option. If he's going to be your 13th forward, I think to me that's a no-brainer.
Cody, jump in on any of that there that we...
I mean, if we're going to talk about depth defenseman, which I think is like the next piece for Florida, the Pacioretty thing, I like that idea, especially if, like, let's say, like, you could probably re-sign up for cheap next year and probably throw him in the top nine, because... If, like, we're looking for some guys in, to fill some holes next year, he could be one of them. But I'm going to go a little bit off the board here. Because right now we have a surplus of lefties. Everyone knows it. And when you're talking, like, big and, like, cup winning, and a guy who is could play bigger is a left shot, but I'm going to go with Marco Scandella. Out of St. Louis. St. Louis is selling, and Scandella 6'3", 212 is a bigger guy, and he could play in more physical series. The thing is, when let's say we play against Carolina, per se, right? Like Carolina or a Boston, where I think both series would be very physical. I don't know. Let's say we go down a defenseman. I don't know if I trust Mahura in this sense to go in there and be physical like we need him to be for the bottom pair.
That's I don't trust Bolinkis either with his lack of experience. Yeah, we saw last year with lack of experience near the end, you know?
Yeah, that's like where I worry, where Marco Scandella, mm-hmm. he's been around the league a long time.
I've really liked his play. He's good. He's good behind the net and kind of like puck exiting and, you know, winning those battles that I think kind of need to be won in our system. When it's those, you know, 50-50 plays and who's going to win this battle, I think he'd be a good fit there.
Corey. Yeah, and his specialty is a very good penalty-killing defenseman, which would fall in line with what this team likes to do, because the penalty kill is currently, if I look right now...
It's Forsling, Ekblad, and Mikkola Kulikov.
Yep. And maybe it helps, like, having another defenseman there. Another penalty killing, because it doesn't hurt.
I will say that they really like Kulikov for his penalty killing. Mm-hmm. And Maurice has told us, and this is all like we said it before, he said he finds it harder to pluck a defenseman out of the lineup than pluck a forward out, because you can kind of bury a forward, but there's only six defensemen.
You can't bury a D.
And if you have to sit one of your D, now you're playing five and everything is messed up. So
I think we were doing that last year. I think we were doing that last year with Mahura there, Alex.
Yeah, and that
I called it out first. You know, he's not playing a lot of
minutes. Poor Mark Stahl came in to be a 7D. He's playing 20 minutes a night, 100 games. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I'm on board. If they find someone that's a pending UFA, has a cap hit that fits, and will sit there as your seventh or eighth. And I know Maurice likes Balinskas, and if they don't make another move, he might play a playoff game or he might play a series. But it's if they don't make, I don't think there's an immediate upgrade on the top six that they have, the main six they have right now in free agency at this point, unless they make like a swing that unless they make a swing that no one's expecting, which I don't see feasible at this point.
Like Jacob Chychrun?
Well, here's the thing with Chychrun. There's another year on that contract. Mm-hmm. I don't think Ottawa is going to use all three of their retention spots, two of them being the Florida. And Ottawa can just stand pat with Chychrun for another year, and then he can be the big fish in next year's deadline. Yeah. I don't think Ottawa's in a rush within a day. If the mm-hmm. package isn't right, they'll sit Chychrun out another year. Yeah, and they'll come back next year as a pending UFA, and maybe they get a first-round package.
Yep. Or same with Buchnevich in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Alex, did you want to throw some other names around? I know you wanted to get to that. Also, anything to give our fan base, news and notes on the Panthers? I know we'll get to here before we wrap tonight. Yep. You know, you can plug your socials and things like that. But just anything to kind of share with us, because we are very – a trade deadline heavy right now, and some people in our spaces community, they get mad at me after, like, are you not talking about the Panthers? I'm like, well, come back next week, you know, when this kind of settles down. But, you know, maybe some stuff to give our fans that are just not so enamored in this trade deadline like that we kind of are.
Yeah, so I know I'll throw out one more name. I know that Panthers fans have been asking about Duclair. They've been asking me pretty much all season, if is there a return in the works. At this point, they get Tarasenko. Duclair has a $3 million cap hit. They can't retain anything because that's cap circumvention. And he doesn't have a no movement clause. So if San Jose was to ship him, I think at that point they're in the position where they have to take one of the better packages. If they do end up trading Duclair, now I'm not saying they won't do right by him, but I just don't see it really being likely, especially since you can't retain. Duclair's in a contract year. And now your top nine's filled. So I think it's a different situation where Pacioretty can sit there and, you know, he's at the end of his career. He's made his money already. He's not looking for a massive deal next year, where if Duclair goes to another team that needs him in the top six or top nine, he might be in for a payday. And I think San Jose, if they do right by him, they're going to be considering that too. So I don't think that the Duclair reunion is going to happen anymore.
Yeah, I've always kind of been on that front there. Anything there, Cody and Nick?
I mean, like, on the Duclair front, even if they can't even broker a third team in the deal, if anyone's even thinking that, it's just not going to happen this year. Like, he was a fan favorite, but
I could, Kirby, I wanted to ask Alex about another San Jose Shark, if that was okay. I'm a lot of rumors circling around. I know there's a lot of uncertainty in San Jose with what their Mike Greer is going to do over there. What are your thoughts on the potential of maybe Jan Ruda, right shot D, bottom pair guy, maybe some retention in terms of a third team brokering it? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I just got to look at his cap quickly.
I think it's 2.75 for 2 years left.
Yeah, so here's my thing. This isn't me hearing anything, but I think that the Panthers want to have as much flexibility heading into the offseason as possible, because at the end of the day, they're going to want to sign two of the three. They might lose one, but they're going to want to sign two of those three UFAs, the big boys. They didn't do it last year, and I think I know why. You have Montour coming off an injury. He had an unbelievable year last season. As a GM, you would probably kind of hope he doesn't repeat the 82 points while still being effective. And Zito, if he was assigned Montour, probably saved a million or two on that the AAV because of that. But I don't think they're going to want to look at someone that's going to eat up. At this point, you want as much dollar flexibility as possible to sign Reinhardt and then either Forsling or Montour. So I don't think they're going to strap up a defenseman on extra term, if that makes sense.
And that's where OEL comes into play too, Alex. I talk about the fan base wants to bring him back for 3x3 or something. It's like, and those dollars and cents are going to really count, you know, that's happened with Gudas last year, the prior summer, you know, with Drew and my guy, Mason Marchman.
Well, here's the thing when you have good teams, right? Like, guys get paid. It happens in Tampa. Now Tampa's a little bit older, and the Panthers have done well at finding guys to, like, Mikula comes in. You get him on a good deal. He kind of plays a similar role to Gudas. Gudas got his cash, and it's great that Gudas got his cash because he deserved it. And, you know, OEL might get cash next year on a 2 or 3 year deal from a team that might have to hit the cap floor, right? Yep. So those are all things that the Panthers are going to go into the offseason with as much flexibility as they can in the salary cap. And, I mean, players will take discounts to play for the Panthers. It's a contender. There's no state tax. It's an unbelievable group. You're playing in South Florida. Those are all things that the Panthers are going to obviously pitch in free agency. But I don't think they're going to make a move where they're like, oh, this is $1.75 million next year that we don't really want in this guy because we might like Belinskis better at $750 or $900, whatever it is. So I don't really expect something like that to happen.
And you need the money for the big boys, like you just said. You know,
yeah, at the end of the day, that's who they want to sign. That's the big
who
guys.
You need. Yeah. Your secondary core, as I say to Cody and Nick quite often, you know, and that's your winning DNA guys as well. You got your top big dogs in Barkov and Tkachuk, and how Bob's playing now, thankfully. But you need more than that. You know,
two of those guys are secondary. One of those guys is main core now. A la being Reinhardt.
Yeah, and I've always said Reinhardt's the 1A. You know, and you know my love for Montour. Reinhardt's always been the 1A to me. Dating back
next
to the summer.
And then next year you got Verhaeghe, who part of the main core. You got to, like, those are the two I just think you have to bring back. But
yeah. And you're an Ekblad guy, Cody, and I'm a Montour guy, and you have to bring back, you know, the Reinhardt and Verhaeghe's. And again, them kicking the can down the road, as I always say on our post-game show, can't probably do that again this summer, Alex, with a guy like Verhaeghe.
I mean, back-to-back. I mean, he's about to have back-to-back 40-goal seasons. And he's close to point per game, is he not? He's got to be close.
He's at a point per game.
He's at a point per game. Yeah, I think so. Alex, anything else before we wrap up here today? Panthers related? Anything around the NHL that you wanted to kind of discuss with our audience here?
Now, the next 2 days should be interesting based off of how Wednesday was. We'll obviously keep you updated. I'll have any more articles regarding who the Panthers pick up, how the lineups will shake up after Friday. We will be speaking to Zito, I believe, I think we should probably be speaking to Zito some point down the road after the trade deadline. Nothing's confirmed yet, but they normally do that every team.
So, will that be on will that be on Friday? Because a lot of teams I know around the league do that. You know,
normally
living up here in Canada, you know.
Normally they do it that day. Yeah. So, I mean, they practice at noon, deadline day. So if they say stick around, you're talking to Zito, then that's that. But nothing's been confirmed as of yet. So, but we will eventually speak to him. And we'll hear about the new acquisitions, and we'll speak to the new acquisitions. You're going to hear from Tarasenko within the next day. So, yeah, exciting times in Sunrise. You got a contender, Panthers fans, and they're looking to make another run back to the Stanley Cup Final.
Most definitely. And before I let you go here today, Alex, if you want to plug anything, we're going to be live likely Friday. I know all the deals are happening here. People think there's not much left, but we're going to definitely kind of recap everything that's happened on Friday, probably around 2 p.m. Eastern time. And I know you're busy, Alex, and some beat writers are busy, but we're going to have some content creators and different beat writers come by as well, guys, Cody and Nick. We can maybe get some Ottawa people now, so to kind of break down Tarasenko's game to our audience. We could probably do that more so for Friday than we will for the Thursday post game. But yeah, Alex, before you go, anything to kind of plug, or, you know, what articles you're working on or what's coming down the pipe here?
Yeah, you guys can find all my content on Twitter or X at abaumgartner91. I am the lead Florida Panthers beat reporter at Five Regions Sports. So I pretty much have daily or every other day articles covering every game. But we will have a lot of stuff around Tarasenko and whoever else they pick up. So if you're interested in that, by all means, please stay tuned.
For sure, Alex. And before we go today, Cody and Nick, it's nice to be a part of the Five Reasons Sports Network with you there, Alex. And Alex is such a humble guy. Maybe pick some of that up living up here in Canada. No, just joking. But Alex is always like, Alex is always like, Kirby, you don't gotta retweet my stuff, like my stuff. I never ask you that, but I just do it because I want to. So I try to share some of Alex's stuff on our Instagram page and obviously on our Twitter X page. And we also pin it to our Jumbotron after we go live after every post game as well. So Cody and Nick and my co-host, you guys help me out with that. When you see some stuff from Alex, and we'll always pin that to the top of the Jumbotron because we're getting big numbers in there. I think after the Detroit game, we had over 600 listeners or something like that. The Vegas Stanley Cup stuff, we're hitting like 1K numbers and things like that. So big stuff going on there over the Twitter X side.
For those people out there thinking like, because all the big moves happened today, trust me, the fireworks aren't done yet. The Eastern Conference has been extremely quiet on this front. It's all been Western Conference team getting the big fish. So far, in my opinion, Florida has had the best trade deadline in the East, which is just getting Tarasenko for pretty much nothing. Like, the only other team I could think of is, like, the Maple Leafs getting Lyubushkin from Anaheim, and then Alex Wenberg, former Panther, going to the Rangers from Seattle. And just knowing the other teams in the East, knowing Carolina or Tampa, I don't expect much from Detroit or Boston, but I expect some from Boston, Carolina, Tampa, one of those teams.
And Jake Gensel still hasn't been moved, and you kind of expect that. And there's been some reports saying they might be doing a three-team trade. Maybe Lindholm gets flipped right out of Vancouver. Maybe they're trying to bring in Gensel. So that's going to be something that might happen the Thursday or it might happen the Friday. And that's really when the fireworks will start popping off in the East and the West, depending on who gets Gensel.
Yeah, good point by Alex there. And again, we're going to break that all down on Friday, Nick, what's happening within our division, because I think our fan base and the community that follows us, they're very, very focused on the Atlantic division, and that makes sense. But I think there's got to be a lot of movement that's going to play out there, Nick, so we're going to cover all that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like Cody said, everything's going on in the West, and Panthers really the only team to make a pretty major move in the East. So it's going to be an interesting couple of days here.
Yep. Well, all right, gentlemen, I want to thank you for your time, Cody and Nick, as always, and our special guest, Alex Baumgartner. Alex, we'll probably have you back on during the playoffs, obviously in the off season, maybe leading up to free agency and things like that. So I want to thank you for your time here today.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Yep. Appreciate you, Alex.
Appreciate it, guys. And as always, let's go Cats. Let's go Panthers.